like to call this meeting to order and welcome you all here this evening. I recognize once again that we meet on unceded Wolastoqiyu territory, and we'll continue to do that as we work with our Indigenous partners in education.
We meet on what?
The Maliseet people, who were the people that owned this land, were originally called the Wolastoqiyu people, and their name was changed, not of their own. So some are reclaiming the name, and as an official name, we can use that name. We can say Maliseet Wolastoqiyu together if you want to make.
So what did you just announce?
That we are meeting on unceded Wolastoqiyu territory. The Wolastoqiyu people have never ceded this land over to anyone, so they still own it.
Right. Okay.
Just recognizing that. Okay? You have the agenda in front of you. We need to make some additions. Under business arising from the minutes, we'll have a report on the Carlton North Theatre naming. Brief update on the King's Clear sustainability study. Under new business, we have an item titled Leo Hayes High School. Under committees, which should be between the monitoring reports and the correspondence, we have a brief comment on the travel committee. The policy committee on travel. Under correspondence, we have three items, one from the Gagetown PSSC, one from the Hubbard PSSC, and one that Heather's bringing from the PSSC in Maduxnikaig. So with those additions, we have approval of the agenda by consent. Thank you. And you had a brief moment, and apologize for the difficulty in getting the minutes up on the portal for you. But looks like everything's going to be bigger and better than ever moving forward. So having had a brief chance to look at the minutes, are there any errors or omissions? Seeing none, have approval by consent of the minutes of the February 23rd meeting. The symposium this year is, it will be held in St. John, and it is the first weekend in May, and the symposium is, the theme of the symposium is successes through policy. So we have suggested that we would do a presentation on our potato harvest policy at that symposium. And I will have some communicating to do with Stacey Brown in the next few days over that. She's away right now. But once we have that together, and the superintendent has offered to put some of the details of that policy in a PowerPoint for us, I'd like to have some volunteers on presenting the policy at the symposium and answering questions and things like that. So if you are interested, send me a note, let me know that you're interested in doing that. It would be really good to have some returning members from the last 4 years, because you'd be the ones most knowledgeable about the potato harvest policy. The issue of the survey for PSSC members and other parent groups, we sent that survey out to PSSCs, to principals, to share with their PSSCs around Christmas time, and there didn't seem to be a very high return rate on people doing the survey, So I asked Carol to send it again to all principals, and she did. She received indication from 30 of our 69 principals that they had sent it to their PSSCs. There may have been others that did and just didn't have the time to respond to Carol and let her know. But that survey went out, and it was on the 10-year education plan and what people want to see as focuses in the next starting out. We did the same survey ourselves, I think before Christmas. We had a request last week to have it go out again, and I explained that I thought probably twice as a reminder for people to do it was enough. So if you're asked questions about that, it didn't go out the third time. I just thought perhaps principals would be a little overwhelmed with sending that out for us three times. And the people who have done the survey have done it, and I discovered I could do it twice, so there's not much point in having the same person do the same survey three times over. Andy, do you have an update for us on the naming of the theater at Carlton North?
Yeah, there's a community meeting next Tuesday, 28th. The purpose of that is just to share the intention with the community on the proposed name of the theater at Carlton North. And that meeting will be held at the high school and the theater.
And the theater. And that follows our naming policy, so.
GP8.
Yes. GP8. Good. Thank you. King's Clear Sustainability Study update, Mr. McDiminy.
So we're in the middle of a sustainability study at King's Clear Consolidated School. We've had our first public meeting. Correspondence continues to go from our office to the parent population. The first public meeting I felt went fairly well. Not too bad for attendance, and a presentation on the facts about information about King's Clear Consolidated School. The next step is preparing for public meeting number two, and that's an opportunity where stakeholders have a chance to make presentations to you as a council and to the public, and that is scheduled for Tuesday, April the 4th, which is a couple weeks away. I'll write to the parents again next week as a reminder. We have a registration process that's out there where we ask for anybody who wants to present to register with Carol no later than 1 week in advance. And Carol will collect those. We continue to maintain an active website. We've had a request or two come in for information, and we share information back when we can, and we continue to upload documents and watch for comments. And one question that I'd like to ask the council is if you would like to sometime between public meeting number two and public meeting number three, if we plans for a working session, whether that's face-to-face or a conference call or an electronic working session. Sometimes that's proven to be helpful in the past. I know that you continue on your own accord to review the documentation that's posted and to reflect on any information shared in preparation for a final decision on Thursday, May the 4th. So I leave that out there. I don't know if we have to decide this minute, but something to think about, a working session between April 4th and May 4th to give you an opportunity to organize some thoughts, ask some questions, anything along that line.
Does anyone have any thoughts on that now, Mark?
Well, I guess, number one, our meeting's on the 4th, so we'll definitely... I will definitely know whether we need a working session. I'm leaning towards we probably do. And but if we know on the 4th, and we do have time on the 6th to maybe plan that. So maybe we can go with that. Unless people
sure.
decide now and have a date now.
Of course, we're together again on the 20th for a public meeting as well.
Yeah.
If we want to
talk about the timing on the 6th, then we have to get the superintendent to leave us his availability.
Right.
Remember, he's leaving town that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that? Wait until after the 4th? Okay, under new business, Ms. Buckley.
So I've asked to have Leo Hayes High School put on the agenda again because I still have some concerns about the fact that that was our number one priority in our capital budget last year. And in fact, it was for a tech wing. And there has been no announcement about the tech wing, but there has been an announcement about a $25,000 study. And for new people to the council to be aware that a year ago or 2 years ago, there was a $50,000 study ordered on Leo Hayes because of its overpopulation, which triggered last year a committee to get together about the rezoning to try and reduce some of the population. And another piece of that was to add the tech wing to the school. We decided not to go for the full addition of 9 million, 2.5, whatever it was, and just stick with the $1.2 million tech wing. And we made it our number one priority. So the government has come back now with a $25,000 study, and it's unclear what that study is for. In some areas of the world, it's telling us it's to study the potential pros and cons of purchasing the property and the property around it, taking the size of the tech wing into consideration. It would be to study the process of a renewed lease. It would be used make a decision on whether we as a district should walk away from Leo Hayes School because it's a P3 school. And a P3 school means it's a three-party partnership and there is a mortgage on the school that we are paying to an outside party. So the information that has channeled back through indicates that there is a huge mortgage still outstanding on the school. After 20 years, Sean, do you have any idea, like of a, are we in the 8 to 10 million or the 80 to 20 to 100 million?
I don't know what they mean.
Like, is it possible we could be in the 80 to 100 million? Is that a number that's not like way out there somewhere?
I've never seen that figure.
Yeah. To build a new school, we get numbers in the area of 8 to 10 to 15 million dollars. So. You know, the province has been paying on this school for 20 years and there haven't been a whole lot of renovations to it. Mostly just have, you know, driving in with the modulars and hooking them up. And there's 7 or 8 of them there, isn't there now?
8.
Anyway, then there was another speculation that part of that $25,000 was to develop some ed specs around a tech wing. So It just doesn't seem to be clear what that money is for, and it's frustrating for me as the representative, and have been now. This is my 9th year representing that school, for the school itself, for the PSSC, who have done everything they can to kind of keep the ball rolling here. The study was done based on the fact that the technical part of education that the students were being transported to Fredericton High School for was probably not working to its fullest potential, and it is taking away a whole lot of opportunity for the kids that go to Leo Hayes High School. The other concern is, in the midst of our number one priority, is that the high school in Petticodiac was just awarded a tech wing, and they didn't even ask for it. They didn't know it was coming. The principal was not aware of the announcement until it came. And so it's just kind of funny that it just got left with this $25,000 study. So I don't really know where to go from here. I mean, I've rattled around the options of asking to do a sustainability study in the hope of maybe getting a commitment to invest some money that way. I've rattled around the quest to ask the superintendent to clarify it a little bit better for us so that we would know. But he clarified it for the PSSC 2 weeks ago, and in essence, I've already told you what he told them. So is anybody any clearer than me?
Just a question.
Yeah?
The study, the description that you gave, is that hearsay or is that factual, that that's what the study is intended to do?
The $25,000 study?
Yeah.
Well, that came from the superintendent to the PSSC, that information.
And that is what this money would be used for.
Is that correct, David?
So on March 11th, I wrote to you and confirmed the $25,000 for Leo Hayes High School. And the allocation is used to study options to purchase the existing building or extend the lease as outlined in the lease agreement. So it needs to be considered in conjunction with discussions or agreements with the building owner regarding any building additions. So I offered that reminder that, as Jane described, Leo Hayes High School is a P3 school, a public-private partnership, and we pay lease costs. The province pays leasing costs to the owner of the facility. It's a 25-year lease, I understand, and we're approaching year 20 now, which is the time where we begin those conversations. So those conversations about what to do next, to purchase the building, to continue or renew a leasing arrangement. I say to walk away from the building. I don't know where 1,700 kids would walk to right away, but the... But those conversations are now upon us, and they have started, and that funding is to work to go towards that process. The options will be studied in this 17-18 fiscal year that starts in a couple of weeks. Ed specifications will be prepared for the concept of an addition. A business case on the building acquisition will then be prepared and presented in the form of a memorandum of executive council. So the addition, it's still undetermined at this time, but that ed spec work will allow the department to cost it out, and the analysis would allow them to recommend the best option to government for the next capital budget submission.
So is it possible then that this money is just part of that natural process of that lease consideration?
To me, it's the first step in the natural process.
And it's likely not directly related to evaluating whether or not they should build a tech wing.
That's a piece of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the money wasn't allocated for the analysis for the tech wing. It was probably allocated for the lease renewal.
Yes, the information that I have says that needs to be considered in conjunction with discussions or agreements with the building owner regarding any building additions. So it's a piece of the conversation.
What is a memorandum of executive council?
It's commonly referred to as a MEC. And it's an organization of information that's prepared for the executive council, for the cabinet table. Jason's experienced it more than me, but it's a very formal process that the civil service would use to formally advise cabinet.
So it will be ready for next year's deliberations on putting a tech wing in Leo Hayes High School.
I would say yes. According to this timeline, it says it's the fiscal year starts in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I know that there. I don't know, Sean, if you've had any timelines, but
they haven't sent me timelines. But I know with respect to educational specifications that Josh will be arranging a meeting for Philip and I to attend, and we'll start that ed spec work as part of that process.
When you've met with him, would you have anything to share with us afterwards?
Very possible.
Okay. So we can.
I want to be clear on what the ed specs are.
So basically, they have a general educational specification.
Yes.
For what would be in a tech wing.
Yes.
So they would take that and then they would apply that to Leo Hayes. What for the number of students? The building, where it would fit in the building, kind of a design, but not like a full design, because we know a design and tender and that is much more expensive than $25,000. So it's just very cursory look at what it would look like, as well as other factors that David talked about, which is the bigger, like the future state of Leo Hayes and whether it becomes a provincial asset or continues to be a P3 school for the future.
Heather had something.
Sorry, Heather?
I can certainly understand the frustration of the Leo Hayes family and PSSC. And, you know, unfortunately, us putting it as our first priority doesn't seem to matter. It maybe matters, but I mean I don't sit there and spend the fiscal the money, so I don't do all that stuff. But I think pursuing it and continuing with it being a top priority, particularly with the overcrowding and the thinking about the educational needs of those students and what's best to serve those students, I think it's. This group should be continuing to pursue that, and I'm not sure how to do that, whether it's, you know, writing a letter, or we've done that on other things, stating our disappointment with the lack of attention to this, and also that there's already been previous studies done, and we know that there's a need of it. So I guess that's kind of part of what I'm thinking. But the other part of it is maybe through the chair to David. Have there been P3 schools that they've done additions to? Is it that it's a P3 school that it could be a stumbling block, or are there other schools like that you would know of that they've gone ahead? And,
sure.
Right. The fact that it's a P3 school adds an additional step to the process because it's not a provincial asset. As for other examples across the province, I'm not familiar enough. I'm not sure if Sean or Jason have heard of any. I don't think there are a lot of them.
My recollection of any that I would have been involved in would have been after they've been purchased by the province. Any additions to would have been after the fact. Now, that's just my recollection. Heather, I can't, I can go back and check, but my recollection when I was at the department was once they were purchased, any additions or any work of major capital was done after it was in the hands of the province.
That's why I just kind of wondered if that is a kind of like, what do we do about this thing now? I don't know how that all works, but I wonder if that had something to do with it.
Mark?
As a previously part of a district that we went 3 years, so actually in our third year, we finally got funding for our number one capital project. I just want to say that there are times we will not get anything because our list goes to the province along with every other district, Francophone, Anglophone, so there's only so much money. So while it is a huge deal that we didn't get any this year, it's not in the scheme of things as in terms of any abnormalities. So just in reference to Jane's comments, and I totally understand the frustration as a representative and as a school, just the idea of perhaps a sustainability study, because a sustainability study could, you know, lead to further investment. That would be my least favorable way to move forward because of the process. I think what Jane has done tonight is what should happen. I think it's the ideal, bringing it forward. And of course, we have this conversation in May, and I think it's important, if it's important to the DAG, that we keep it number one. I think that's what's going to move it forward. And, you know, if something should happen that we don't get it again, then things got to, I don't even want to think about it, but then things got to get pretty serious for the next year. But I think we are doing everything right. Like I said, Jane, bringing it forward. I think this $25,000 is a good sign. But, you know, I think we're moving forward, and I would hope we would not go towards a sustainability study. And I think Jane's doing the right thing, and as long as we keep it on the agenda, I think we'll be fine. I think the province is showing some movement. But, yes, it sure is slow, isn't it?
So. Jane.
Okay, well, two couple of things. One, I just wanted to restate, if I already stated it, that the whole concept of the P3 and the process of making that all happen was all addressed in the original $50,000 study. So that information has already been, we're already aware of how that works and everything else. So, you know, a duplication potentially along the way. And the second thing I would say is to thank you for your support. I'm not going to go ahead with the 409 motion tonight. But that's not to say that I won't at the next meeting. But I'm hearing some positive comments around the table, and I appreciate that.
I will say that I've heard some suggestions that DECs can submit their list without a priority rating, and I haven't been told that's the way we should do it, but I've been told that we can do that.
If I may, the minister also wrote to the PSSC. The PSSC has been actively advocating, and I recognize them here this evening. Had an opportunity to attend a PSSC meeting and see firsthand their passion for this project, but I can note that the minister wrote to the PSSC and assuring them that the project was carefully noted by government, pointing out the $25,000 and attached it to the educational specification for that particular project. So I believe that it's on that radar.
I think that is a hopeful sign. That second bullet in that $25,000 announcement was what gave me hope. Okay. That and the fact that next year is the fourth year of a term. That's all I'll say. Any other comments on that? So May, we make up our minds about what we want to have as a list to go forward, and if we want to make a priority list, I'm right beside Jane on the Leo Hayes issue, but we have also supported the new school in Hanwell as our second priority. So we have to think about that before May, what we want and what we got. And I don't know if there might be some people around for Beth looking for something. I can't believe I said that.
Be stricken from the record, please.
Yeah. not in the minutes. Superintendent monitoring reports better go to somebody who's going to watch his mouth.
So, pull the report up on the screen. First one is EL2. Just find it here.
And can I clarify, were these reports emailed because they didn't get them on the portal?
Yes. They were emailed early in the week, probably Tuesday morning, I'm thinking. I should probably hook the screen up to the computer.
Or just keep talking and we'll all pretend that we see him.
Yes.
The Emperor's new clothes.
In Woodstock, it's actually wireless. So here we are with monitoring report ASDWEL2 on staff treatment. It's presented once a year, and I offer my thanks to a number of colleagues that I work with here. I should acknowledge three directors here tonight: Director of Finance Administration, Sean Tracy; Director of Communications is Jason Humphrey; and Director of Human Resources is Karen Morton. And I know that Tanya Whitney, the Director of Schools, is en route. So got some great help in putting this report together. So this policy calls for me to ensure that dealings with staff and volunteers are fair and dignified. I can tell you a little bit about our staff numbers. As of September 30th, 2016, we are looking at just over 2,900 permanent employees. I call this official. These are the numbers that we submit to the Department of Education, and I know that there's some reconciliation that goes on. These 2,900 employees belong to five different bargaining units and one division of management and non-union. All five bargaining units have their own collective agreements that have been established through negotiations with our province. So we have our teachers. We have a couple of QP bargaining units, one for EAs and administrative assistants and district administrative staff and library assistants, and among a few others, that's QP 2745. And then another group of maintenance repair workers and bus drivers, among some others, that's QP 1253. We have a New Brunswick Union of Professional Public Employees, as well as a union of school business officials called PSAC, Public Service Alliance of Canada. Our organization also has close to 1,200 supply or casual employees as of March 2017 that are approved to work in our district. There's some statistical facts in our appendices for you to have a look at a little later on. Of course, this report and the appendices will be posted publicly tomorrow. We have good relationships with our union leaders. We often work proactively to settle any misunderstandings. We're committed to following the collective agreement, and I would have a work plan, a documented work plan that demonstrates a desire to continue building and fostering positive relationships. There is a formal process for grievances that's in place for employees, and any time a grievance is launched, we do our best to handle it with respect and professionally. We do track the number of grievances as well as any complaints that fall under Provincial Policy 701, which is the protection of pupil policy, workplace harassment or human rights or other formalized complaints. The information is sensitive in nature and pertains to personnel issues, so we haven't quantified those cases, which, by the way, isn't a large number. We haven't quantified it formally in this report. We have a few operational policies within our district that are important. One is titled Employee Concerns. These policies are available publicly and to our staff. The other is a policy on professional conduct. And I have the responsibility to ensure that staff are aware of how to address concerns that they might have. And I get Karen's help as Director of Human Resources in doing so. Professional development, that's a big part of this policy as well, and there's a tremendous amount of professional learning that occurs for our teachers, for professional, for education support services, for our bus drivers, for paraprofessionals. A big list here in the appendices that you can have a look at. I continue to run a policy series and a What's On Your Mind series that's now open to all staff. It's something I started a few years ago where once a month for each topic, so two times a month, I would go online either as a conference call or now I do it on link and spend some time with school administrators and district staff. But we've opened it up this year to any staff who's interested in learning more about a specific policy and also to talk about what's on their mind, and any staff member can contribute to that agenda. That started in November and will continue until the end of the school year. Great collaboration with our partners, the University of New Brunswick, Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, the NBTA. There are others as well. We have quality leadership development, managed mostly by our directors of school. We continue to be the provincial lead when it comes to the implementation of PowerSchool. And we have two PowerSchool leads and two technical experts that take the lead in this particular area. And we've also been working very hard to improve orientation for any new employees. This is helping us fulfill the requirements under the New Brunswick Health and Safety Act. So as you can see here, a number of appendices for you to look through at your own leisure. We have the policies that have been listed, a copy of the memo sent by Karen on my behalf to all staff, professional conduct. It's a good reminder, and we like for our staff to review. Many times we'll ask principals in their opening meetings to just point this policy out and make sure that it's high on the radar. And then when you look at the various professional learning highlights, again, just some great opportunities there for you to look at. I'll just scroll through to see if there's anything I should. So the first part was more along the curriculum line, and now in the student services line. Paraprofessionals, bus drivers. We have a team of driver coaches that offer some one-on-one support to our bus drivers. Here's our policy series. So two per month, What's On Your Mind, and policy session. And then there are some statistical data there. The official September 2015 numbers from the provincial publication, and then we have our staff that we submitted our numbers from 2016. So once again, that's all available to you in the report in front of you, and we'll ask Carol to post that publicly tomorrow as a part of our process to ensure the public has a chance to see these reports.
Questions? You can move right on.
The next one, oh yes, is EL4. And that is our budget and forecasting policy. So, budgeting and forecasting, we report on four times a year, and of course Sean Tracy takes the big lead in this. It's probably just best if, as per usual, I turn it right over to Sean. And, Sean, if you'd like to talk, I can scroll.
Scroll.
Okay. Fourth quarter report.
Thank you. fourth quarter, just a reminder, at third quarter we were forecasting a small deficit. Currently at the fourth quarter, we've received an updated budget, so the budget total is a bit different than what you would have saw at the third quarter. The fourth quarter is as of January the 31st, 2017, we had received $212,591,235, and currently forecasting a surplus of $17,361, so no longer in a deficit position. So currently, we're expecting that we'll be in the balance to a surplus of $100,000, which is the maximum that a district can carry forward currently in their operating budget. So areas of concern continue to be replacement costs for employees, as well as bus operations, fuel increases, heating, fuel, and energy costs. Spring seems to have arrived, although today it seems to have left. It's kind of cold.
That goes at 17,000.
So we're hoping for some more warm weather before the end of the year. So a couple things that I added to it that were different than the third quarter is the when we have a number of contracts that are settled throughout the year, like for our bargaining groups, so they have a salary increase and retroactive payments and then the actual adjustment to their salary. So that's obviously not included in our budget. So government, Department of Education goes to government for what's called a central salary draw. We've not received those monies yet at this time, so we have an idea of what we're getting. But at the end of the day, we could have a larger surplus than what I'm currently showing here tonight once we receive those money. So we're supposed to have those entries done by March 31st, and as part of the year-end process that we go through, we can do adjustments up until April the 25th in our budget. So the other thing that I added is with the respective professional development monies that we receive late in the year, and as well as for events that were canceled because of snow days and things like that, will also result in extra money being left in the budget because of time. You can only have so many people out. So those could be some additional monies there. So I suspect we'll have $100,000 at the end of the year.
So Sean, sorry, when you say you can only have a $100,000 surplus, so when that comes, if you happen to have more than $100,000, and I'm just, it came to mind when you were talking about professional development, what happens if you did have that?
So through the year-end process, there's a number of things that we're able to do to, if we have additional monies. We have, of course, an operating side of the budget. We also have a self-sustaining side, which we have expenditures on that side that we can move over to the operating budget to take any large surpluses that we have or offset them as best we can. We've done that in other years. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we've had years where we've had surpluses in excess of $100,000 where we have put some money over, but we still had ended up with a surplus. There's only so many things with accounting standards that you can do with those at that time because you're past the March 31st cutoff, so it's a journal entry exercise at that point. So just you've seen this slide before, but it's just been updated with the new budget figures. 88% of our budget is salaries, with 12% operations. And this is just the breakdown of the individual buckets from the fourth quarter. So you can see that there's a instruction, get your budget, total expenses, and the variance. The variance represented in red means we're in a deficit. And the other areas where it's in black can say surplus. Overall, we're at a $17,000 surplus currently across those areas. You can see under instruction, which is mainly due to
supply cost for supply teachers, and under facilities, it's the it's our energy and heating component in there that's giving us the overruns there. Transportation, again, is bus operations there. So overall, we have a $17,000 surplus, so which is a good thing this time of year.
Sean, falls under your benefits bucket. Is that like health, dental, like benefits, or is that?
That's CPPEI. It's Blue Cross Group Life Insurance. Workers' compensation, retirement allowances under there. There's quite a. There's a first aid training. Like there's a professional development for the support of wellness and stuff that's under there as well.
Can we get a better detailed breakdown of what's in each of those buckets?
Well, there is a large overall thing. It's about eight pages with the individual lines. It's not something that I've provided to council before, but certainly something that if I'm directed to provide, I will.
Yeah, I think probably for anyone that's interested, not for everyone.
Could we put it just on the portal, or is that
the? With that particular spreadsheet, it's linked to, like, the budget and accounting manager actually populates that, and then I pull those figures and shrink them down to a district education council report, which is compacted of all those different areas. So when you expand it out, there's different sheets at the bottom that feed to it that also refer to other files that she has in her directory. So if I put it up, it would just be a static, like a photograph of it. It wouldn't be anything active that you could go in and click on the extra tabs, because they wouldn't work because of the different connections.
But we can show something in a little more detail. I think I know what you're asking for,
yeah.
Sean, and we can.
Like it's.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Under, if you were to go to the benefits section and just read the side of it.
Yeah, so under the benefits, retirement allowance, vacation pay, work safe, group insurance, Canada Pension Plan, health and dental insurance, employment insurance, clothing allowance, employee assistance program, and then there's other benefits, which is first aid, joint health and safety committee training, it falls under that area.
So you'd like to see those titles and the amounts associated with them?
Okay. And the variance.
And the variance.
Yeah, so like, for an example, under facilities, you have the custodial wages, overtime, casual pay, custodial replacement, electricity, water, sewer, contracted cleaning, garbage removal, snow removal, facilities rentals, maintenance, vehicle expenses, heating fuel, natural gas, wood pellets, operating expenses, minor repairs, and maintenance projects. Every one of those things would have another sub-sheet that feeds to it. But this is the...
Now, just that sheet, is like that what you're reading from, is that...
This is the expanded version of this.
Is that possible to put on the portal?
Yeah, I just got to put it on as a picture.
But we would offer a little bit of caution, though, not to get too I don't know how you'd call it, like... There's some movement back and forth between line to line to line, so it might be that you see something that shocks you, that if you ask the question, Sean would be able to say, well, no, this is really this way because part of it comes from this and the other part of it comes from that. Like, that's what happens when I sit down and go through and he describes it to me. So it gives you a good snapshot, but it's just important not to get too worried if there's something that doesn't make sense, and if it's something that you're quite interested in, you just ask us and we offer the clarification.
Yeah.
I might have focused for this. I'm more just curious. Like, I was interested with the key data, but I wouldn't know where. Like, I wouldn't consider professional development dollars benefit. I would say the benefits to the PEI.
The majority of that would be under the program area at $2.4 million. Most of that is professional development for the educational staff. That's where that would be.
And then when you do your next, like, sorry, because you didn't budget before I came on last year, do you do like a cash flow month by month?
No.
Or you just do a lump sum? And
we do expenditure plan is one of the requirements that we do. We do that as of June the 30th. We have to have an expenditure plan approved, provided that we have a budget in the spring. We do the expenditure plan. It basically looks just like that, only everything at the end is a zero because it has to be balanced. And it's not until the second quarter where you start to see the expenses being added and the variances of in and outs. We don't do an in and out. Monthly reporting in government is, they've tried to do it, but it's just not, there's just, you don't have the staff to do that sort of thing.
Last couple points from the monitoring report. Offer that reminder that twice a year we give you an update on the deck budget. I forget what it is, John, the annual amount. The 12-month amount, 51,000 is what we budget for deck expenditures, and that we continue to follow a revenue sharing model to ensure that schools have access to self-sustaining dollars that don't expire at the end of March and carry forward from fiscal year to fiscal year. So that's our report for EL4, the third of four.
Mark?
I know in previous years, I don't think we've seen it in a while, we used to get a report on self-sustaining funds and on grants and stuff. Do we get that at all now, or I know we're not necessarily required?
It's been included in the body of I can't remember if it was October or January.
It's the third quarter.
Okay, so it would have been January. And yes, we can. You might remember that before amalgamation, there was, I'll call it a gentleman's agreement, that the self-sustaining dollars associated with each of the nine Anglophone districts would, even though they're coming together into new districts, would still be invested in those original areas. And revenue that comes in is going into what our Anglophone West line, but anything that we spend comes out of those three former district lines. And I can tell you that Oromupto and Fredericton are pretty much done when you take into account actual expenditures and commitments. And with Woodstock, we have a little more to invest.
I know at one of our last meetings we had discussed in a working session discussing sustainability studies more. That's still on the
if ability. Time allows for April
right.
the 6th, yeah.
If not, we can
yeah. Yeah, we'll move it ahead to May.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
All right.
So the next item would be committees and our policy committee and Mark.
Capital improvements.
Oh, I just wanted to skip that one.
That one's fairly quick, though. It's,
okay.
We always say that March, April, May are that's the capital improvement projects and major capital construction project season, and we always start in March with just a reminder of what's to come. And the DEC has a very important responsibility in May to approve two lists that go to government. One is for capital improvement project recommendations. Our facilities team keeps a database of hundreds of projects that amount to millions of dollars, and they do their best to prioritize them with three categories, one being the highest priority. And so over time, and in particular in the next, I'm going to say 4 to 6 weeks, my guess is you probably already started, Sean,
Yeah, they're at the point where they're ready to meet with me to discuss
the
list.
Good. So there'll be a recommended list that comes forward for our discussion and questions, and then in May it'll be incumbent upon you to approve a list. Then major capital construction, we've already talked about this a little bit today. Sean keeps a list of 7 or 8 big ideas. Is there a distinguishing between capital improvement and major? Is there a dollar value that distinguishes between the two?
Anything over $1 million would be major capital.
Okay. So approximately $1 million. So we would have 6 or 7 ideas. We've talked already about Leo Hayes. We've talked about a new Hanwell school. In the past, we've talked about midlife upgrades. We see one underway now here at Fredericton High. You've prioritized lists in the past, and you'll have an important responsibility on that night. So I like to just put it on the agenda for tonight, just to get you thinking about it. And if you would like, we also put it on the April agenda. If you would like, we can have a preliminary conversation in April, or I could just give you an update as to where the facilities team is. But May is the big time to most important time to make those decisions.
For me, seeing that list as soon as possible, just to have a chance to go over it before the May meeting,
right,
is important. Does anybody else have any comments on that? Mark?
I was going to comment in reference to the letter, but it really is applicable here because, you know, Hubbard had a concern, and it would fall under major construction projects. So, David, I mean, obviously, I've received the letter, the Dex received the letter, you've received it. So is that something that you would just give to Philip or give to the team or look at yourself? And basically the letter refers to one thing specific, and that's the drop-off zone and the students entering the school. There's a little bit of a safety concern. And the other thing they don't reference, they said they will be bringing it forward, but there is an area of Hubbard Avenue School in Oramusco that really needs a renovation. There's a little bit of a storage area right outside the bathrooms, and the bathrooms are in need of repair. So I just wanted to make you aware, I guess, publicly, that letter come forward, and you know, hopefully it fits
sure. In
a good spot on the list. I know there's a lot of schools that have to be considered.
So with those discussions underway right now, perhaps what I'll do is turn that letter over to that team,
yeah,
to fit into their conversations. Maybe it's something that they're aware of and it's already in that loop,
right,
or maybe it's something that they should go and check out for themselves and see where it might fit, but I can certainly do that.
Yeah.
And going back to seeing the list in advance, we do have a working session in May prior to the public session. Would it be good to have the facilities team come and
yes.
Okay, Sean, do you think everything could be ready for?
Yeah, will be.
Okay. So let's plan for that for the working session.
Okay. So now can we do...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Correspondence? Since Mark's already started.
Oh. That's my fault.
Okay. Committees first.
Okay, so our policy committee, we've asked to work on a travel policy first. So do you want to just speak briefly to that?
So we will be setting up a travel policy committee meeting, and hopefully have a report for you and ready for April.
For April.
And also, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sean. I forgot to thank you for not only the presentation but the work that goes on, and pass on your thanks to the our thanks to the committee behind you too. Now I don't know where we are. Correspondence, and we've covered the letter that came from the Hubbard school PSSC asking for some consideration of the issues that they had identified, and so that's been handled. We also, in Gagetown is Wallace, right? We also had a letter from the Gagetown PSSC. It came about in a roundabout way, so it didn't come directly to me. It went to the deck manager, and then she forwarded it back to, and I think it was copied to you? It
eventually got to me, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, they are expressing interest in being a part of any enhancement of French language instruction that can happen. So I consider that to be an operations matter and would like to hand that off to superintendent as well. So,
do you want to reply and say you've handed it off to me, or do you want me to reply and say you've handed it off to me?
You can reply because it didn't actually ever come to me.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm just wondering what's the situation on French immersion with the Gagetown and the students there.
Right, so we've been working our way through trying to get a handle on registrations, which we think we've got a very good handle on. We have a good team that's updating quite regularly, so we have up-to-date numbers. We feel that we've pretty much figured out where the program can be offered, making decisions based on policy, provincial policy 309, section 6.4. We've talked to some principals, talked to most principals. We are working together with the department and the other districts for when it comes to sharing in a more public way what it's going to look like, and we're still just a touch away from that point in the process.
So what's the current program operating for the Gagetown students?
Currently there is no French immersion at Gagetown. There are some Gagetown kids who would be zoned for the K-8 Gagetown school that are enrolled in French immersion and have transportation taking them to school in Oromocto where they're enrolled in French immersion classes.
Is it possible to say if we have any areas where it's very close to, or is that something you...
It's very close to, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Offering a program or not.
You mean naming specific schools?
Yeah.
If I did that, I wouldn't...
No, I wouldn't ask you to name. Is it possible that there would be any areas? Or are we pretty much...
We'll see a lot of things that we expect. And then in a few cases, there might be programs offered where they haven't been traditionally offered. And in a few cases, it may be that the enrollment suggests that the program can't be offered or sustained there.
Yes. Good. Okay. I think we're down to Heather. You had a note from the Meduxnikeg, which I can say, but I can't spell it yet.
I
so, okay.
No, I had a note from Shelley Hubert, who is the chair of the PSSC at Meduxnikeag Consolidated School, MCS for short. Just thanking the DEC for the gifts. So I'm just passing it on their behalf.
Thank you. It didn't come out of our DEC budget, but the DEC chair's council for all PSSC members to receive one of these little notepads and pens. Just as maybe a bit of a reminder that we're there, we're here, and involved, and interested, and we care, yes. So, now we're down to public comment. Do we have any public comments this evening?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm George Long with, this is Kimball Blonger with the PSSC, with Leo Hayes.
Okay.
And we simply, you know, given the capital project,
know that you've got a big decision coming ahead with money, and you can only, I guess, fight, for lack of a better word, for so many projects for this district. But if you can keep a couple of things in mind going forward as you're preparing your priorities for the capital budget, if you can keep in mind that Leo Hayes High School is currently operating at 90 to 98% capacity, when 80% is a red flag. Okay, if you can keep that in mind. And if you can keep in mind, too, that from our students, you know, overcrowding is a big deal for them. It's one of the anxiety stress factors for these kids. So a technical wing, it helps alleviate some of the overcrowding in the classrooms, but also a technical wing, it falls under the 10-year education plan, which the government just released. That's another thing that you should keep in mind, please. And you can also keep in mind that it also, a tech wing falls under the inclusion policy, which says that, you know, we do our best to accommodate all the students to help them to reach their full potential in learning. So we ask you to please keep us as a priority in your capital budget. And if you guys will do your part and standing up for this really important investment, if you will, I can guarantee that our PSSC will do our part to make this front and foremost in the Department of Education. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next. Jane wants us to talk longer. She says we haven't been meeting long enough and we need to have more conversation here.
I doubt that.
I don't hear anyone else talking. Our next meeting will be April the 4th, public meeting number 2 at King's Clear. Please let us know if there's any reason why you can't be there. This is an important one as we hear from the public, and most of them will present us with a copy of what they have. So if they have a PowerPoint or something on just on text that they can give us that we can keep on the portal or on the sustainability site, it will be there. But it's really better to be there and hear it from them and hear what their concerns are. And then we have a working session on April the 6th, and our next meeting will be back here again on April the 20th. Okay? Yes,
I'm
Mark.
To adjourn.
Thank you.
So much for conversation.